WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X Flap with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
It's Sunday night, and you know what that means. It's WTR Sunday Night, Wrestle Talk Radio Live, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming live at wildtalkradio.com and twitch.tv/WTR Live. I am the producer, Sir Rockin. Joined as always by, I guess, still not a gigolo, but back to being special guest co-host, Keishi.
Consistent special guest co-host.
Hey. We have the intern.
Am I a special, special guest host?
No.
God damn it.
You're just special.
You're a special intern.
Well, my mom says I'm special.
And then the one and only Tim Stein.
And so do about 15 professionals that put you through a psych evaluation.
Just saying. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to WTR Sunday Night, Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming live on twitch.tv/WTR Live. If you're listening anywhere in the world wide web, join us. We got a live chat room. We'll talk to you. We will, because we interact. It's true.
Boy, do we.
Yeah. Hi, Keishi.
Hello.
Hi, Brent.
The
Rock.
Yes.
We're all here. Fresh off a week of recovery from WrestleMania month.
Something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. Of course, in case you missed it, check out the archives. Dr. William Maidbrook actually made his return to the program for the first time since 2005. Yes, Wrestle Talk Radio has been around that long and even longer. Going all the way back, the concept was created back in the fall of 2003. And our very first episode kicked off in April, I believe it was April of 2004.
Huzzah. We throw Brent a cookie, will he do a trick, right?
I put my response in chat. I don't turn tricks, but I'll at least enjoy a cookie.
See, you gotta do tricks to earn the cookie, so,
I don't turn tricks. I'm not that kind of intern.
Well, start learning how to be that type of intern.
The magic? Do you card tricks?
Card tricks.
Pull rabbit out of your hat?
That would require free time to be able to learn how to do all those things.
Easter's coming. You should pull a rabbit out of your hat.
I could say something, but I'm not going to.
Say it.
No.
Say it.
Or a bunny.
No, she's on AEW.
Oh, yes, that one is.
Anyway. We're here to talk to professional wrestling because things happened kind of this week.
Or people were mad that things didn't happen.
Yeah.
Were they mad that other things did happen?
Yes. Someone is always mad at something all the time.
It's the internet.
Well, you know, all I got to say, if you don't like it, go on the internet and complain. Hey, nope, here we are.
No, you might be a bot.
Oh, yes. Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Listen, only if you pay me a lot of money.
So let's start.
Wastefully.
Let's start there. So Tony decided to apparently have a survey conducted, an independent study.
Bullshit! Bullshit!
An independent study has confirmed that much of the staunch anti-AEW online community aren't real individuals. It's a staff running thousands of accounts, plus an army of bots to signal boost them. Look closely. These aren't real people. Who pay for such a, quote-unquote, wildly expensive thing? This is what Tony tweeted.
Tony tweeted this a few days back.
On Friday, yeah. To get people to watch AEW Rampage.
And it's like, this goes back to what I said a few months ago. Thanks to Tony Khan for creating AEW and giving the fans a an alternative to watch. But, dude, you've got to learn when to shut your freaking mouth. And just let the shit roll off, because the more you bitch and complain and point shit out, the more you're proving how thin your skin really is. And as a side note, if you're going to be the guy in charge of something, trust professionally.
At one point it was talked about it was his company that did the independent study.
That probably disappeared real quick when he realized what that sounded like.
When his analytic company, within an hour.
Yeah. The greatest thing about his tweet was the Becky Lynch's rebuttal, non-rebuttal.
A lot of people memed it, but yeah, Becky had it going.
Becky had it going on. That was good.
Yeah.
I still think my favorite response to that was the person that created the Kepcha is all elite card.
That was good too.
That was brilliant.
But yeah, is he wrong by saying there the anti-AEW community is just bots?
Yes, I can tell you from personal experience. Yes, he is wrong.
Listen, there are fanboys and fangirls for AEW. There are fanboys and fangirls for WWE. There is a fanboy and a fangirl for Impact.
I like Impact. I'm the fanboy. Am I the fanboy?
You're the fanboy.
I'm the occasional watcher of Impact, so.
I've got news. I don't know if this is good or bad, but technically you don't count.
That's fair.
And the reason is you know too much about the business, and also you pay enough attention to all of the different businesses out there for a very specific reason.
Research and develop.
R&D, baby. R&D. And besides, you don't want to get caught accidentally doing something somebody else is doing. Unless it really works, then you want to steal it and make it your own.
I mean, there's that. And I mean, I don't know. I could probably get away with stealing things because I probably will never do them on TV.
Well, you never know.
But, you know, if I go to some small town and in random somewhere, I could probably get away with a move or two and be okay.
Didsbury, Alberta.
Yes.
We've been there. Where,
I know. My grandma wouldn't even come watch me wrestle. Well, what? I mean,
does grandma live in defense,
my grandma like is one of those grandmas that you would see in the front row of Stampede wrestling shows back in the day, like crazy wrestling fan.
And she lives in Didsbury.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. You and I have even more in common than I discover like week to week. I've got family in Didsbury as well.
Oh, wow. That's fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I have a piece of audio to play.
Ooh.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
I was doing some investigation, according to this bot comment. It's kind of fitting the timing he did it, because on Sunday, Cody Rhodes had this to say regarding Twitter bots.
You'll find a lot of wrestlers, I'm sure you've experienced this, who are like, oh, Twitter doesn't matter. Doesn't? They're people. Like, oh, they're bots, they're trolls. Really? This looks like a person. And you lost their money. You lost their friendship. You lost their fandom. That matters. In the industry of touching people, that matters. So the best I could do was the language of physical pro wrestling, the language of it.
He's just going off about being quiet. But is he wrong?
Are they in the business of touching people?
Is AEW in that type of business? I don't know. But no, it's interesting. You know, he brings that up about how Twitter's real, and according to Tony, they're bots.
You got to be extremely careful. You know, and this goes back to me telling Tony, shut the fuck up. You got to be extremely careful about some of the shit that you say. It'll come back to bite you in the ass. Basically, that's what Cody was saying.
Well, it's not just even that. It's if you want to talk about bots, let's talk about it works in the exact opposite direction. All of this, people can now claim, oh, well, wait a minute. What about all of the exact same looking praise comments that that hit that, you know, promote AEW every week, promote Dynamite.
You'd almost think it came out of a politician's office.
It, you know, all of the wrestlers who have basically the same tweet of, hey, this is going to be an amazing Dynamite. You should go watch. Yeah, guess what? That can be bots too. And Tony, you have just opened the door. So all of a sudden, if you see people that are, and I'm not saying this is happening, but again, you know, the door has been opened. If we start seeing just countless praise for the company, then who's to say we can't go, well, that's just a bot. Why should we care?
Valid point.
I mean, at the end of the day, like, nothing is as black and white as this topic as he wants to think that it is. Are there bots out there? Yeah, probably. Are there real people out there? Absolutely. And it's just a matter of like understanding that, you know, yeah, are there going to be bots that are going to be, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, tweeting things and pushing it and making it sound bad? Yeah, there are going to be ones that do it good too. There are going to be real people that are going to shit on your product. They're going to be real people that love your product. That's just kind of how it is. Whether or not a lot of these people's opinions have any like validity to them, well, go into sports. How many people hate a team just because they don't like them, say they suck, but if you look at the stats, you go, well, they're a really good team on paper and based in the standings, but you say they suck. Why? Why? Because it's an opinion. So you have, it's nothing, I don't know. There's no truth. There's no lie to anything that anybody says about whether they're bots, whether someone hates a show, whether someone loves a show. It all just comes down to opinions. If you want to hate a show just due to the fact that you don't like the direction they're going, and for some reason you decide that you want to go on the internet and scream to the masses about how you hate something, fine. We've been doing that for years. It's probably more important to not pay any attention to it. And that is probably where, in my opinion, once again, Tony Khan is kind of going a little bit wrong. Doesn't matter what he does. There are going to be people, real people and robots, that are going to hate his product. What he needs to do is keep his nose to the grindstone and just do what he can to put out the best product that he can with the people he has, with the abilities that he has. And then people are going to like it or people are going to hate it. And that's just tough beans. You just do what you do and hope that you're, you know, enough people like your stuff.
That's one of the things I have to give praise to, like, Billy Corgan, Vince McMahon, and a couple of the other people who run companies. Like, when McMahon was on the Pat McAfee show and they asked him, you know, what do you think about, like, the people on Twitter? His response was basically like, I really don't buy into much of that. Like, he values opinions because, of course, it's going to influence his product and it helps steer where he's going to go. But he's not going to just immediately jump on people that are like, oh my God, your match with Austin Theory, you know, your interactions with Austin Theory is garbage. He'll be like, all right, well, you don't like it. You know, you don't hear anything coming from NWA either. They just do their thing.
You know, that's basically what I said to kick all of this discussion off. Shut your fucking mouth. Let it roll off. I mean, damn.
He can't do that, though.
Well, he's chasing the hugs so hard.
He's trying too hard to first off, be relevant, and secondly, to be taken seriously. You can't go around telling people, take me seriously, take me seriously. They're never going to do it because you're telling them to. Give them a reason to take you seriously without saying, take me seriously. Mm-hmm. I mean, there comes a point in time when you've got to let your actions speak for you. And, you know, it reminds me of two different sayings. One of them I learned from my grandfather. It's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak up and remove all doubt. That's from my grandpa. The other one is don't continually tell people how good you are. You don't notice a lion walking around telling everybody, hey, guys, I'm a lion.
I mean, maybe they do. We just don't understand roars properly.
No. Just no.
I'm just saying.
But anyway, the point is, you know, and maybe I should tweet to Tony Khan. Not like he'll ever read it or anything.
Oh, he'll read it. Smart enough. He'll read it. Trust me, he'll read it.
Really?
Yeah.
He reads all tweets, huh? Okay. I remember that.
I mean, look at him. He's obsessed with himself, so he probably reads every single mention. He probably
comes off exceedingly insecure.
Yes.
And yeah, Brent, you nailed it. Vince says, well, you know, okay, so you didn't like it. So what? Other people might have. That's what Tony's got to do.
He's playing. It's something that I've complained about for a long time. He's playing to an echo chamber. He wants to constantly hear how great he is, but he doesn't want to hear anything outside of that chamber.
He can't take criticism.
And it's been that kind of thing. Like, for the longest time, remember, he said he was never going to appear on TV. He was never going to be, you know, he wanted to be the behind the scenes person. But we've seen him, you know, starting to eke out more and more. I really think he wants to turn into Vince. He wants to, I think deep down he wanted to be like a wrestler, and one day he may get that chance. But also I'm wondering if, like, I don't know, he's just chasing praise he never got. I don't know anymore. And I'll give him credit. In 3 years, he has taken AEW into a good position, but he thinks that they should be, he's taking a expansion football team and thinking that they're going to turn into the Pittsburgh Steelers with six titles right off the bat.
Or he's thinking he's the first season of the Las Vegas Golden Knights expansion club in the NHL.
Yeah. He thinks it's just like, I can go from zero to WrestleMania in nothing flat, and everyone should appreciate what's happened.
But the problem is, the shit does not work that way. You've got to build things to stand upon.
Right, and like I said, like I'll give him credit. He has come leaps and bounds in 3 years. I will never deny that fact. But at the same time, he also has to realize everything he does is in gold. And when people point that out, it's instantly, no, you're wrong. Like, no, we've seen that story before. It doesn't work well.
Well, let me ask you guys this. I mean, we've seen the rise and fall of WCW. If Tony doesn't tighten his own personal ship, is he in danger of losing control to the Asylum?
Probably not, because I don't think a lot of these people have, like, Hulk Hogan
stroke.
Yeah, he's smart enough in that aspect.
He took it away from everyone.
Yeah. And I mean, there are a bunch of people that, you know, like, their contracts weren't renewed and stuff like that. So I'm sure that's helping.
I mean, for every contract he doesn't renew, he signs five people. So
see, I think what's going to end up happening is he's going to bloat himself out.
Which is why he bought Ring of Honor.
Yeah, but it's still okay. The biggest problem with that, he's come out immediately and said that this is going to be essentially a developmental style. So are you going to tell me that if you're, let's say, I don't know, a Keith Lee or a Swerve Scott or a Swerve Strickland or a couple of other people, that you're going to sign and be like, oh yeah, you're going to our developmental. You don't belong on Dynamite. For some people, it's like, okay, yeah, they're probably coming from indies. They need a little seasoning. But if you're jumping ship from, let's say, WWE, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, we've got this great spot for you, Ring of Honor, would you be like, nah, I'm good. I was getting featured over there.
Depends on what people think of Ring of Honor. Because you always have those people who know, be fond about what Ring of Honor was and want to be a part of whatever that legacy was.
But is that what Ring of Honor is going to be?
I don't know.
Because as much as you can keep the logos, keep the things, it might not be that same style product. And if that's the case, then okay, you signed with Ring of Honor because of the name of it, but there's not much else to it. I don't know. It we need to see what happens with it as well. That's the big caveat.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
we'll see.
But we're all bots. That's all. That's what this is telling me.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, changing topics. People like to make a big deal about the Raw after Mania and the SmackDown after Mania. Do people expect too much, or is it just those shows way too overhyped?
We've basically been groomed by WWE to expect a big, massive spectacle post-WrestleMania. Usually, like, practically every single Raw after Mania is held in the same vicinity.
Yeah, which was this year.
Like this year.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that I noticed that was missing on the Raw after Mania, we didn't get the crazy crowd reactions that we got previous years.
Do you know why?
Well, coming out of COVID and shit, but
I mean, the crazy crowds had a lot to do with, like, the foreign audience, and you didn't have that this year.
You didn't have that international flavor, and it gets fun when the crowd is, you know, half the crowd is yelling "Tastes great," the other half of the crowd is yelling "Less filling." It has absolutely nothing to do with what's going on in the ring. Who cares? They're having fun. They're at, they're someplace that it's for almost all of them, a once in a lifetime bucket list trip.
Very true. But as we've talked about on this show, though, at what point does that become hijacking a show?
Well, that's what my point is. We have, thanks to almost every Raw and SmackDown post WrestleMania, have practically come to expect it. Now, you remember, there was only one time on this webcast in the past that we said anything negative about it, and that was like, I think, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. Some absolute stupidity wound up happening in the crowd that has never happened before, and I don't recall it happening since.
The beach ball stuff.
What's that?
The beach ball stuff.
Oh, that was a little much. I mean, I thought I was at a soccer game for a second. But it was like when the crowd, it became an expectation for part of the show at the very least to be hijacked, for some of the baby faces to get an exaggerated cheer, for some of the heels to get an exaggerated boo. And it just made it more entertaining in a like a one-off type situation.
But in terms of surprises and different things seeing on the show, you got that on Monday. You got
not this year.
Yes, you did. Oh, yes, you did.
Yeah, we did.
You got no surprises this year. I don't know what you're talking about.
You had MVP turn on Bobby Lashley.
Yep,
that was a surprise. Veer finally came.
Yep.
Ezekiel showed up.
God,
he no longer.
I found Veer to be a disappointment. I loved the MVP turn on Bobby. I'm kind of surprised at the turn Bobby Lashley face.
Why? He came out as a face at WrestleMania.
That's what, well, it goes back that far, Brent.
He was turning face even before, like, at Elimination Chamber, people were already cheering him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he was getting cheers even as a heel. He was one of those fan favorite types that we've spoken about in the past. Come on. He's done such a great job. And it's one of those feelings where WWE threw their arms up in the air and said, fuck it, the fans won, let's give them to them.
We also got a breakup of a team, Zelina and Carmella.
I mean, technically you got two teams. Mm-hmm. If you went to SmackDown.
Wedding bells are breaking up that old gang of mine.
We also, Cody Rhodes was on the show.
Yeah, your big WrestleMania reveal.
Your big WrestleMania reveal. Like, that should be enough for people. Like, they gave you a lot. It may not, I don't care about Ezekiel, aka Elias, but guess what? They gave it to you. They showed, it was a surprise. You weren't expecting him on Monday. And it's like, if they waited on Cody, you would have probably been more surprised, but they gave it to you at WrestleMania. Like, they gave you the bigger surprises at Mania. So anything you did on Raw or SmackDown would be a letdown when they gave you all this massive stuff the previous weekend.
I think it lends itself, and I've talked with you about this before, I think we're just reaching the point of diminishing returns in the fact of, like, if you look back a couple of years, yeah, the WrestleMania Raw, you had a big reveal. But at the same time, you can't do that every year or else you run out. You know, it's just kind of like, oh, okay, this person debuted. And we hit that point where even though we did get returns, turns, all of the stuff that, you know, helps to set up a new season of wrestling for the year, which is what after WrestleMania is, people are just like, oh, well, I was expecting, like, the Briscoes to come out. No, it's not going to happen. Well, I was expecting, you know, The Rock to come out and announce that he's not retiring he's unretiring and is facing Roman at WrestleMania 39. Okay. So then you have a year build for that. It's just the point where we've gotten to the point where, like, no matter what the expectation is, people are going to be disappointed no matter what.
On SmackDown, you got Gunther and Ludwig, a new character for Lacey Evans. I mean, they're giving you new things.
You got the breakup of another tag team.
Which seems?
Baron and Moss.
Oh, yeah, Baron and Moss. You got that one.
So you'll probably get a character change a little bit for Madcap.
Possibly.
But I don't know if they'll keep Madcap Moss.
I think they're going to still keep it that name because they kind of driven it home forever. You got Raquel Rodriguez now. No longer Gonzalez, Raquel Rodriguez.
That one is going to take me some getting used to, just because.
I mean, so they did things. Like, they brought up people. Like, people were, they didn't bring up people. They brought up people on SmackDown because that's the A show. They were going to do on Raw. And there's still more to come. Like, if you get everything at once, mm-hmm. what are you going to look forward to next week? I mean,
they gave you new items. It's again, as we said, it's the new season. And as we know, it's a year long season, so stuff will need to unfold.
And one of the things, Casey, that they gave us is we're getting a new formation of a new group.
Yes. depending on, I guess, which camp you're in, it's either a new ministry or a copy of the House of Black.
Either or.
Or it could be its own thing, and we could just let it play out.
It could be. It just looks like the ministry because they gave them all the purple.
Oh, yeah.
And Undertaker's bottom third graphic for Edge. Because they did.
I mean, basically, at the end of the day, we just need to wait and see if Damian Priest comes out with markings on his chest,
look,
like the Acolytes.
Look,
they have not yet named a faction, given it a name.
No, they haven't. No.
Not officially. Has anybody heard anything, any rumors or anything about names being trademarked?
Not yet. One thing. Is Damian an Acolyte, or is he Midian?
No, we are not getting naked Damian. I am putting that out there right now. We are not getting naked Damian.
I mean,
well, I think you may have just disappointed half. You may just have disappointed half of the Latino community there, Brent.
That's fine. We saw a horrible thing with Dennis Knight in that respect. We don't need to see Damian Priest go through that.
Because
I don't think Damian Priest is there for comic relief.
I mean, he was one of the first sacrificed, though.
I mean, Midian wasn't comic relief early on.
No.
Because my next question to you is, since you brought up the Acolytes, who would be the new Acolytes for this group? Who would be like the CB that take that role?
Oh, boy. I would have to... Hold on, let me pull up the roster.
Because
while you're doing that, not to dig too deeply into this or anything like that, and to steal from a local faction, would you have an issue with calling them Children of the Night?
I would just call them the Other Side.
What about just putting Edge with four others and just calling them the New Brood?
No, don't.
They did the New Brood already.
Yeah, a long time ago. Don't tarnish something you've already done. Why go? Everyone else tries to lean to the past.
Because it's WWE, damn it. They do that.
I have an idea.
Oh, that's interesting.
Okay. Hold on. Before we get to you, what's interesting?
The NXT tag team champions are vacant. Team vacant.
Yeah, you didn't know. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. I mean, I know why.
I just.
Oh, they announced it. They announced
they went
it
that far.
They announced it on social because they fired the other guy.
Poor other guy who's still there.
Yeah,
that's a mess. Anyway,
Brock, that reminds me. I need to make a change to one of my fantasy teams. Technically, the wheel does.
Oh, if it's the wheel, then we have to make a wheel and spin a new name.
Yep.
Okay.
Just bringing that up. But here's an idea of someone for a tag team.
Okay.
Because they're not being used for the most part, and they kind of have an interesting look already. What about the Raiders?
Ooh. I mean, let them be a little Vikings connection.
Let them be a little more sinister?
Yeah, no, you couldn't put the Viking Raiders if you're going to call them the Raiders, because that would just make everybody think that it's the Viking Raiders faction.
Well, no, but they would take that away and redo it.
I mean, yeah. They know how to rename people.
Clearly.
Not always successfully, but yeah.
I mean, they're a group that could be the kind of like bruiser slash enforcers slash...
Yep, they could be. They're big enough.
Mm-hmm. And also, you see them standing on either side of Edge with Damian Priest there. You're probably like, I don't want to fuck with that group.
As Casey looks for names, Tim, is there anyone you would like to see?
Good names.
Tim, is there anyone you want to see join up with Edge and Damian?
Well, definitely. If you're looking at it, I would be very hesitant to put as overly established talent with Edge. Have him be like the ringleader, grandmaster type. But you can give several newer, you know, air quotes, newer stars one hell of a rub being associated in a group with Edge. One person that I would absolutely love to see join, and it just almost feels like the logical choice, is Rhea Ripley.
You talk about someone not being established.
And then I named Rhea Ripley. Yeah, I know.
Former multiple-time women's champion. Yeah.
How many times has she won that title?
She at least won the main one once or twice, and she's been
once.
The next
former tag team champion, former women's champion, former NXT champion.
Current number one contenders for the
how long has she been? How long has she been on the main? How long has she been on the main roster?
2 years.
2 years. How many times have we seen WWE futz around with talent for 3, 4, 5 years before they finally take off like a rocket?
I mean, she's already had a featured match at WrestleMania.
Yeah. So has a lot of other talent that still wound up languishing afterwards. You know, when I said established talent, I'm talking like, don't pick somebody like The Miz.
What about T-Bar?
That was another one I was wondering about.
And like, hey, I get why you guys are laughing, but you think about it. In NXT, when he did, like, he was good in NXT, he is a big imposing individual that could be, you know, like a muscle, and they're not really doing anything
with him.
Yeah. They could pull him into the fold and do something with him.
The other thing about, you know, T-Bar, fuck, I hate that name. Anyway, one of the reasons why WWE signed him is because of his absolute massive wild popularity on the indie circuit. The guy was super over. WWE signs him and automatically saddles him with a bullshit, I don't even want to call it gimmick, a bullshit name and a bullshit backstory and a bullshit persona. And Rock, you made the mention earlier, you know, WWE is well known for changing somebody's name. Drop the fucking T-Bar bullshit, wipe that fucking makeup off his face, give him a new gig, and let him be who he is, as who he really is, as a wrestler.
Dijakovic, yeah. That's what they're talking about. Or Dijakovic.
Dijakovic.
Yeah.
Dijak was a better name, by the way.
Dijak was a better name. They could give him his name back.
They could.
Edge probably has the stroke to give him his name back. He'd be like, yeah, T-Bar's stupid. I'm going to call you Dijak.
Yeah, they've already got somebody named Dominic on the roster. That's his first name. Dominic Dijakovic. I think I spelled this, pronounced it right.
Sure.
Anyway.
Doesn't matter.
How big should this fucking stable be?
Oh, according to Mark Henry, it should be the new NWO.
Mark Henry needs to STF you. I'm sorry. He has said more dumb things in recent memory than...
Yeah, no, he's got no skin in this game.
Hey, he creates legacy wrestlers, guys.
He does.
Hey, what?
He was also signed to be an announcer, and all he says week to week is the time for talking is on. It's time for the main event. They're paying him so much money for that.
What about Ezekiel?
No, we got to let that play out.
Yeah, he just got repackaged.
I want to see where that goes.
You know who I would rather see in that stable than Rhea Ripley?
Who?
Crazy Nikki back.
Ooh.
I don't want to see Ripley in that stable because it's almost too on the nose.
Yeah, I'd rather see Rhea be on her own. I'd rather see Rhea establish her. Hell, I want to see Rhea still tag with Liv.
Yes.
Because that team works.
Yes. Even though they're teasing breaking it up.
As they're teasing breaking it up. Lindsay's been pointing this out. I mean, if you want to re in this faction, you can take both of them and put them with Edge.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Because they could be the new Acolytes.
Let them run roughshod over the women's division.
That'd be fun.
Let Liv, you know, really get her legs under her. Because you've been building that up. You've been letting her kind of shine. Hell, put her with Edge and just be like, you know, she was ignored for so long that it's like, I'm going to feature her. I'm going to make you watch her.
Yeah.
There.
So
there aren't a ton of people on the current Raw roster that would really, I don't know,
work.
Yeah.
I mean, you could always bring up people from NXT.
Well, and I was looking at that too, and I'm not current enough with the product to figure out to the point where you could bring them up and have them work.
There is, the answer is
a Blackheart.
Yeah, but that's not young talent.
I know, but
You're not giving a young talent a rub on that one.
I know, but it's the reason I say him is, number one, you can bring him up. Number two, you can have him feature that Sicilian psychopath style of his. And three, at least, look, we've talked about it before. The way that they treat NXT is like, okay, whatever you did there, great. Once you hit the main roster, it's a completely new slate.
Yeah.
And so a lot of that NXT audience, even though you know Tommaso, even though you're like, oh no, we absolutely know him, relate to him, everything.
Oh.
Once you're on the main roster, it's a whole new bag. And it's like, yeah. He can be savage.
He could be.
Oh wait, I just thought of someone that you could bring up that would fit really well with that gimmick.
Okay.
He would lose the comedy aspect that he has now. Rock, what would you think of Dexter Lumis?
I was thinking about that too.
Because just think, he is just creepy enough to work without, like I said, the comedy side.
Yeah, I can see it. No, you don't need to re-sign Karrion Kross. He's becoming an actor or whatever.
I mean, he's controlling his own narrative.
That too. He's glad he has a hot wife because she's probably making all the money.
I'm sure it's helping.
On the OnlyFans.
Yep. I mean, I don't know if it's Tony Storm money, but...
I think it's double, triple Tony Storm money.
Ooh.
Let's just be real.
Fair enough.
So, that's the Edge faction. There's also a bloodline that runs WWE.
Boy, do they.
Oh, yeah, they do after this past week.
And the head of the table has instructed his boys, his cousins, to go to Monday Night Raw this week to win the Raw Tag Team titles, to unify the belts. Should there be only one set of tag team champions?
Are we talking about talent wise or company aspects?
Company wise. Should there only be one set of champs?
No, because when you do that, you limit the number of contenders that you have. It's the same thing with the main championship. If you only have one, then even though you think, oh, well, we'll have this wealth of contenders to go for the title, as we've already seen, no, you have a very limited group that actually contends for that main belt. And if you unify them, you've now taken that pool, and even though it's supposed to be bigger, it's actually now shrunk because it means more people are going to be essentially pushed to the mid-card because you're like, there's really only four or five people that can contend for this. Now, in the current state of tag teams, are there enough to sustain two belts?
No.
That could be... That
debated.
Could be. Debated, very much so. But at least there's opportunity to feature more teams if there's two belts.
I take the opposite view, having run a promotion and booked shows and shit.
Wait, you've done that before?
What's that?
You've done that before?
I have.
Wow, never knew that. First time hearing it.
Yeah. It's not like I'm dropping it every single week, just every other week. Well, no, actually, I mention it every week.
You mentioned it every week. That was the joke.
I know that was a joke. Anyway, that being said, at this point in time, I've never been a huge fan of the brand split. I'm a huge fan of good writing that utilizes your entire roster over two shows. WWE has, at points, had a really hard time doing this, and at other times they pulled it off brilliantly. But there's too much gold floating around. In my opinion, there really is. Have one set, just one title belt of each division, except maybe the Intercontinental and United States Championships, even though they're both mid-card championships. Keep those two separate, but unify the tag titles, unify the heavyweight titles. Oh, wait, that was already done. Your champion defends on either or both brands. He shows up on either or both brands. It doesn't limit the competition, but it gives you a chance to stretch things over and make things last a little longer. You keep tag teams together longer. You get the chance to actually, with very little extra effort, make your tag division a bigger deal.
Yeah, you just have to find that right balance of like having enough teams, but not too many, at least as far as the tag teams are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like you say, I would keep an Intercontinental and a U.S. title on each show, because then at the very least you have, you know, there's always something that's on that show that gives guys a reason to contend for something.
Well, let me ask you this, Cash. Would you have the two different mid-card titles kept in-house exclusive, like on one on one show, the other one on the other show? Or would you float the champions around?
Well, I mean, I think it'd be better to keep them exclusive to shows, only because if you kind of, and I don't think this will ever happen, but if you kind of reestablish those, like it was back in the day, it's you win one of those titles, and then that means that you are on the road to going for a championship match. Like back in the day when it was WWF. Exactly. You won that WWF Intercontinental title, and then it suddenly just bumps you up into the next echelon of, oh, he won this title. Now he can be believed as a contender for the heavyweight.
And usually when you're made to drop it, it's because they're inserting you into the main event. And, you know, back in those times that you're referring to, they didn't have just one person chasing the title. It would be like simultaneous storylines, two or three of them all going on. And you focus mainly on, you know, on the big one, but you have the other two bubbling, and the two contenders would be antagonistic towards each other because they're trying to become the next number one contender.
And it also elevates those secondary titles into something that, you know, the people on the roster want to fight for them, because it's like, oh, if I win this title, that automatically kind of gets my foot in the door for the big one. It's basically a year-round Money in the Bank opportunity.
So you're talking about option C.
What is option C?
Sorry, Impact reference.
Oh, no, I mean, if you unify the tags, for sure.
The thing was, yeah, go explain the X Division thing.
Option C was if you won the X Division title. It was at Rock. Was it Destination X?
Yes.
or Bound for Glory?
Bound for any. I think at any time, honestly.
No, it was a very specific pay per view.
Oh, it originally was Bound for Glory. I think they've
changed. It was you could cash in the
You drop your X Division title
for a world title shot.
Yes.
So essentially it's that, or it's Warrior with the Intercontinental title and having the match at WrestleMania 6.
Yeah, something like that. It just, you know, like giving that secondary title a little bit of an elevation, which will also help work towards, you know, establishing people to vie for the heavyweight championship.
So,
or the Universal Heavyweight, however many names long it is right now.
The UWU Championship. Yeah, got it.
The UWU.
Think about it, Brent.
God.
Think about it.
I know it's the actual acronym, but yeah. God.
Would you keep the women's belts separate, or keep them, or unify them?
Keep them. I am for keeping them separate, just like the tags, only because you've already got Charlotte and Becky at the top of that, and we'll throw Ronda and Bianca in there. You now have this crop of women wrestlers, and yes, I understand they can all compete for a chance to, you know, go for the belt, but if you have one belt with all of that roster, people are going to get lost.
Yeah, the women's title is kind of at that like awkward critical mass of like there's almost just enough to keep it separate, and not, and if you unify them, then there's too many,
because there's, don't forget, there's still four people who aren't competing at a regular basis in that women's division as well. Bayley, Asuka, yeah, Alexa Bliss, and now Lacey Evans coming back.
Yeah.
In addition to everyone that's there.
Yeah, you bring those four back. I mean, whatever timelines they're on, however they're feeling injury-wise, baby-wise, and all that other stuff. That kind of, once you have like a full, healthy women's roster, one championship is not going to be enough.
No, but, all right. I think we've covered all that. I think we're all good.
I'm good.
Yep.
Okay. All-time greatest.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoopsie freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
Time to finish up the first round. Dusty Rhodes, Doink the Clown, Casey. All right.
Good
comment. Brand, Dusty Rhodes or Doink the Clown?
Okay, look, I know Doink is supposed to be he's a clown. People are supposed to love him. No, it's Dustin Rhodes, baby. He is your quintessential, every man, people rallying behind him. You know, everyone wants to lean on the hard times promo. That's great. The fact that he was the main foil to Ric Flair tells you how much of a babyface he is. Because Ric Flair was the wealthy guy, Space Mountain, flying on private jets, having the four horsemen in his corner, cheating to win all over the place. And yet Dusty was always right there battling him. And, you know, being essentially that proxy for the people in the audience to be like, yeah, kind of like a Steve Austin. You can take on that and be okay.
One for Dusty. We'll try Casey again.
I was on mute. That's the problem. Dusty. I mean, everything that Brent said, plus the dude got polka dots over. Who, you put polka dots on someone else, and there's a good chance that they will fade away. Dusty Rhodes takes those polka dots and he runs with it and he makes it work because of his personality, because of how relatable he is to the people, because he has those fire promos.
Mm-hmm. Tim?
Doink the Clown was better as the evil clown that was there to scare the kids and give them nightmares even now as full-grown adults with the unreasonable fear of clowns, which, you know, it just contributes to the popularity of the recent movie It by Stephen King, written by Stephen King. So I'm going with the son of a plumber, baby.
The ultimate warrior, Darby Allin, Casey.
Woo! I'm going to pick Darby because that dude, he goes out there and he takes a licking and he just keeps coming back for more. Like, he's an underdog's underdog. Whereas, I mean, the warrior, yeah, I mean, he had that energy, but you look at the guy and you go, well, he's probably going to steamroll a lot of people just because he can't stop. He's like a juggernaut. Yeah, I'm choosing Darby.
He steamroll a lot of people because he blows up too quickly and has to get the match over with.
Well, yeah.
All right. One for Darby, Tim?
Yeah, I'm going with the ultimate warrior. By your logic, Casey, I should pick Barry Horowitz should win this thing. Barry Horowitz took a licking and kept on ticking.
Yeah. Where is he on here?
He's not.
He didn't quite make the cut.
Didn't quite make the cut. But
I'll give him an honorable pat on the back.
Well, yeah, give him a pat on the back. He deserves that. But that just brings up the point before I go any further with this. Bret Hart has recently said that Barry Horowitz deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Does he or doesn't he, Brent?
Do I think Barry Horowitz should be in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Honestly, for body of work, yes.
Best jobber ever. What do you think, Cash?
Actually, I would say Steve Lombardi was probably the best jobber ever.
Well, okay, you know what? That would be a mini debate for another time because those two could go neck and neck. But Cash, what do you think? Should he go?
In the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
I think so. Like, he came around and went around long enough that, like, people know who he is.
Yeah.
It's not like he was like, oh, you know, I did a handful of things and then I was never called again. He kept coming. They kept bringing him back for a reason.
He wasn't Nick Jackson as a jobber to the, you know, Big Show.
Yeah.
No, he was the jobber to get a good, safe, effective match out of the up and coming. Rock, what do you think? Should he go to the Hall of Fame?
Sure.
Just one word. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. That being said, I'm picking the Ultimate Warrior.
Right.
I'm a tiebreaker on this.
Yes, you are.
Okay. I will say Darby does get a good reaction when he comes out. The fans love him. The one knock I will put on him is that in his current pairing with Sting, Darby is an afterthought. It's Sting comes out and, oh, look, he picked up his son from the skate park. When the Warrior would come out and wrestle, the roof would blow off of every venue that he was at. He was an attraction. And as such, the fans loved him. Now, personally, was he probably a bit of an asshole? Sure. That's what got him kicked out first. And then he ended up going to WCW. And then he, you know, made another appearance with WWE, which wasn't that great. But in terms of just overall babyface, I would say Warrior right now. Darby, I think, could really challenge in about a year or two. But I also think he really should probably get away from Sting to do so.
So, Warrior?
Yes.
Beulah McGillicuddy. Cody Rhodes, Tim.
Oh, boy.
Which Beulah fan base was, are we asking?
Yeah. Beulah was a crowd pleaser. She was definitely a fan favorite. Didn't matter which way she turned on it. But I think with everything that Cody has done leading up to his jump back to WWE from AEW, doesn't seem like all that big of a deal right now, but 10 years from now. It definitely could mean something heavy when people look back on this. And with all of the momentum that he had with him before he left WWE, while he was in AEW, and now literally a juggernaut coming back to WWE, it's Cody.
Brent,
I will confess, growing up, I was not a big ECW person. Growing up, I wasn't a big ECW person, but I feel like Cody as a babyface, it feels like it depends on what side of a spectrum you're on, because for a while, it was Cody wasn't very much a face. He was very much a heel in people's minds. And then he, you know, went to the indies and he acted very heelish, joining the Bullet Club and sowing his oats in ROH and Impact. And then I want to, you know, when he hit AEW, he wanted to be a face so bad, but it became very much a Roman Reigns style feeling. Like, everyone will admit, his last 6 months there, everyone was booing the shit out of him. As much as he wanted to be a face, people did not have him that way. Now, his return at WrestleMania, yes, he got a face reaction. But I just feel like Beulah, even though she debuted originally as a heel with Raven, being paired with Dreamer, that kind of ultimate babyface again, like, you just felt for her. And she was, when she was fighting Francine and others in ECW, you couldn't help but cheer for her. And besides, she beat the high holy hell out of Bill Alfonso in that match.
All right, so Beulah.
Beulah.
Casey.
I never watched a lot of ECW, not because I wasn't a fan, but because I live in Canada and didn't really know it existed.
And you didn't have extended cable like I did?
No, because I was but a child who did not control cable selections in a house while I was a high school student. I've learned of Beulah after the fact, but I never really watched it, so I can't really say whether or not she would have pulled me in as a face or not if I could have got behind her. Cody, I like what Cody does as a face, but the arguments, what?
Pizza face.
Yes, pizza face Cody. Like when he was tagging with his brother in WWE, I liked that. Not Stardust Cody, but Cody. And I mean, he definitely hooked me with his post-WrestleMania promo. I don't know if Beulah would be able to do that. So I'm going to pick Cody.
Okay. Edge versus Goldberg. Brent.
This is babyfaces, right?
Yes.
Goldberg. Edge, everyone, as much as we love him with like Edge and Christian and his run before he went to the other side in this run, like that Edge is fun. People, I think, more associate him with like Brood Edge and Rated R Superstar and, you know, Life Sex Celebration Edge.
Mm-hmm.
So in that respect, and plus just when Goldberg was at his height as a face, he carried that company. You heard those war drums hit. You saw him, you know, throw the door open, and you know there was an ass whipping coming in about 3 minutes. And yes, did someone say 3 minutes? But as a face, I've got to give it to Goldberg because, you know, you hear those war drums hit for contractual obligations and people will still chant that name.
Mm-hmm. Casey.
I don't ever think Goldberg was really, especially in WCW, I never thought of him as really a baby face. I always thought of him as this like monster that went out and just destroyed people. It didn't matter whether the guy on the opposite side of the ring was good, bad, otherwise. Did he beat the crap out of a lot of heels in WCW? Absolutely. Did I love to see it? Absolutely. But did Goldberg ever do anything from a standpoint of like, he's doing the right thing, he's a good guy? No, he just wanted to go out there and beat the crap out of people. Whereas, I mean, contractual obligation, Goldberg. Now he's like, oh, I'm doing it for the kids. I want to set a good example for my son, yada, yada, yada. And now, because he's doing it as contractual obligation, Goldberg, I still don't believe it. Whereas Edge, the pop alone that he got from returning at the Royal Rumble, I'd say is bigger than I've heard anything from Goldberg. People like Edge. People are behind Edge based on who he is and his story. And if those two went at each other in a promo, Edge would destroy him. So I'm going to go with Edge.
Tim?
I have never reacted to a surprise return the way I reacted to Edge showing up at the Rumble. As soon as you think you know me, I'm like, no fucking way. And I was riveted. And I'm thinking about that. What was my reaction when Goldberg finally showed up in WWE? When he came back. Oh, that's cool. Keisha, you said that you never thought of him as a babyface during his entire tenure, which was like 99% WCW. I'm essentially agreeing with you. He wasn't a babyface. He wasn't a heel. He was a juggernaut. He was literally the only locally produced mega talent that WCW ever had. With the type of crowd reactions he did get in WCW and the way they booked him in WCW, you would think that he would be the foregone choice, really. However, I can't pick him. Edge is good as a heel. He's really good as a babyface. He's best as the ultimate opportunist, which is both heel and face, and at the same time, neither heel and face, depending on the day of the week and who his opponent is. That's Edge at his absolute best. However, his babyface pops are still fairly off the chain. Whether he was being a good guy, member of the tag team with Christian, or going solo. And of course, his unexpected return was just absolutely mind blowing. Based on the way Goldberg was booked, going up against heels babyface runs, I got to pick Edge.
You know, you've made argument for people who are better heels this entire tournament and invalidated everything they did as babyfaces. Except for this one. You realize this, Tim?
I did what?
You've made arguments that the people on this list that we've gone through, that when they were the better heel, they were discounted as a babyface. Except for this one. Except for this argument. You realize this, right?
No, I still really don't follow you.
Okay. Because you
but
have.
What is your point?
It's just saying, every time we've talked about a heel, and also, that's also been a good babyface, you've discounted them because they were the better heel. Everyone knows Edge is a better heel than he is babyface. But in this case, that's where you're going with it. That's
all. Yeah, except I validated why I'm not picking Goldberg. It's not a case of picking Edge. It's a case of not picking Goldberg. Again, you know, I validated Edge's heel run over his babyface run. But more than that, I put him over as, his ultimate opportunist persona, which is neither heel nor face, but at the same time, it's both.
More heel, but yeah.
Yeah, more heel. I'm no doubt about that. But if, what's the next matchup? It's going to be Cody Rhodes versus Edge. That could be a different story, right? So it's not a case of I'm saying Edge sucked as a face compared to being a better heel. So I'm picking him as a babyface. It's his opponent.
And that's why it's a debate. That was the all-time greatest. That's our show.
And that actually was round one of the great debate. Put to bed.
Yep.
Next time we look at the list, it'll be the start of round two, back at the top of the list. And just to let everybody know, the first matchup that we have for round two would be Shawn Michaels going up against Jay Lethal. Just letting you know. But that's for a couple of weeks down the road. And I say couple of weeks because, kids, next weekend is Easter weekend, starting with Good Friday and whatever Saturday is, and then you've got Easter Sunday. Apparently, Rock is religious enough that he's got to go to church or something.
We're taking Easter off.
Yeah, basically, there's no webcast next Sunday in honor of Easter. However, that doesn't mean there's no programming showing up starting tomorrow night, immediately following Raw. It's the post show.
Raw post show Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Woohoo! And of course, don't forget. I don't know if she's still in the chat room. If she's still in the chat room, hi, Linz. Thursday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain. It's another edition of the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rock Radio Show. And yeah, I mentioned Lindsay Ward. Lindsay Ward, she's the multi-time award-winning host of that show. And Rock joins her because, well, basically he does the Joe production shit.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, it's Rock Live Thursday. We're doing a real show this week. No more WrestleMania, so the real show live this Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you follow Lindsay on Twitch, twitch.tv/LindsayWords. Go to her YouTube channel, lindsayward.rockradioshow.com. She streams Genshin Monday through Wednesday on Twitch and sometimes on the weekends, so check it all out. VODs available at lindsayward.rockradioshow.com. Live streams, Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, and just so you know, Lindsay doesn't know this, you don't know this, but I actually listen to the webcast live more often than I don't. I put on the audio only because I'm busy doing other things, but I listen to you guys. So, just so you know, once in a blue moon, you'll see me sit down and actually, get into the chat room. Mm-hmm. But I do listen to you guys on Thursday nights at 10 o'clock Eastern. Just so you know.
Good.
Oh, that's a freaky thing. Anyway, Saturday midnight-ish, or as close as I can get to it, again, Eastern time. 10-ish Mountain Time is another edition of the Wild, Wacky, Unusual, Greater Than Great Debate known as CB Radio.
CB Radio every Saturday night, midnight, CBRadioLive.com. Greater Than Great Debate, when you can vote for the Greater Than Great Debate every Saturday night. Last night, we did Yankees vs. Braves last night.
Cool. But you know what you should do throughout the week just for shits and giggles?
What
you should maybe stream some video game play and have viewers use the creator code Rock and Sock.
Use creator code Rock and Sock in the Fortnite app. So we do Fortnite with friends Saturdays like at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, shit like that.
Also hashtag Epic Party. That has to be said when you promote it.
And if you forget any of the shit we just told you about, or you can't understand Mr. Mile a Minute Mouth Rock, you can follow us on the social medias.
At Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, WTR Sunday Night on the social medias, Twitter and Facebook.
Wow. Hey, I'm on the social media. Twitter, follow me at Flames Forums. My tweets can be fun sometimes, so shut up. Let's face it, I'm no Keishi Matsunaga, known as Kyle Driver with the K.
I mean, you're not?
No, man, your tweets just blow mine out of the water.
Well, I mean, you talk about hockey, I basically just push where I'm wrestling. But yes, like Tim said, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, at Kyle Driver. Also, if you feel so inclined, you can go to the description of each of those and find a link to my Redbubble merchandise website where you can peruse and put my graphics on coffee mugs, t-shirts, pillows, all
shit
kinds
like
of
that.
Stuff. Stickers? Yeah. Jump in my socials and hope to see you there.
So yeah, you're saying that we can wear you?
No, you can wear graphics that I wear when I wrestle.
There you go. And Keishi, I will have you know that I don't just tweet about hockey. I tweet about hockey during the games because I have a lot of NHL fan followers who expect my witty and insightful tweets about the game.
Witty.
But I also talk about wrestling, and I talk about food, and I talk about... Oh, just about everything, including dad jokes and building stuff and shit like that. So, like, I talk about everything, dude.
He says,
"Oh, I just thought that was spread over your like 16 other Twitter accounts."
No, we're thinking about consolidating, going down from 16 down to 8.
Oh, you're so, Roman Reignsing your Twitter accounts. Good for you.
There you go. Yep, I'm unifying the bitches.
Are we just ignoring? Maybe. Are we ignoring the fact that he says Twitter's MIDI?
Ignoring the fact what?
You called your tweets witty.
Yeah, you know, there are some that are witty. Your attempt at taking shots at me is really lame in comparison to your throwing shade on people that are no longer with us.
I know, right? They're the best.
Yeah, well, you know, just I tell you, you're an American A and not an American gigolo. So,
speaking of assholes, Brett, you're on Twitter.
Actually, I'm not on Twitter. My bot account is on Twitter at King Kittens.
Oh no!
And you're an AEW bot.
Apparently, I am a bot because I have things to say about many a thing that they don't like. So,
how many followers do you have to have before you get a blue check on Twitter?
Never getting to that point.
You won't live long enough, Brent.
Hey, chat. This has been WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll return in 2 weeks, but check out all the programming all week long. The Long Narrows and the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tim, say bye.
Have yourselves a great, 2 weeks, everybody, because we won't see you next week. Have a happy Easter for those of you that celebrate. A happy chocolate weekend. Chocolate coma. That's what we're going for. Take care, everybody. Goodbye.
WildTalkRadio.com.